A warm welcome to Disky Talk with Luyolo. If you're tuning in for the very first time, I ask that you please subscribe and hit the notification bell. If you've been a part of the journey, I hope you thoroughly enjoy this episode. So, on today's episode, we debate who is the greatest player of all times. However, before we head into the episode, I'm joined by three guests that I'd like to introduce. I'll start by introducing Munyezi. How are you doing, bro?
It's good to be here, gents. Good to be here.
Lovely. And to the right of me, a man who is the brother of Munyezi. He goes by the name of Tabiso. How are you doing, bro?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. Thanks.
And then I've got Señor Del Mundo. No, I'm joking. He looks South American. I'm joking. But he goes by the name of Neil. How are you doing, Neil?
I'm doing great, brother.
Thank you for coming on to the episode. Pleasure. And as always, I am your host with the most, and I go by the name of Luyolo. So let's head into it, gentlemen. We'll start off with the first segment. I want us to have a look at particularly Brazil and Argentina with regards to their showings at the Copa America and in recent years with regards to the quality of the squad. We'll start with Brazil. What do you guys make of Brazil and the lack of quality with regards to the players they've produced over the years? Because in previous years, we've seen them produce some of the best players. We've seen them produce Ballon d'Or winners within the same generation. However, when we look at the current landscape, there's only Neymar. What do you guys make of the quality of players that Brazil currently have? I'll start with you, Neil.
If I look at the quality that Brazil possess at the moment, it's not really something to write about. They've always had phenomenal strikers, midfielders that are comfortable on the ball, and players that attract attention from the biggest clubs. At the moment, you have players playing for Everton. That they will, you know, no disrespect to Everton or to Richarlison, but what I think is, it's really a decline for them now. And I think it's a time for them to go back to grassroots level and to see where the problem lays. Maybe it's in the structure of the Brazilian league, where there's not enough funding properly coming through, and they need to give those players a chance again, because Brazil is always being football crazy. Mm-hmm. So they just need to go back to the things that made success for them. But also, what we saw with Germany exposing them in their own backyard, that was dreadful, 7-1. I think what happened there, it was the evolution of football and showing that South America actually as a whole has to adapt. Mm-hmm. That's why Germany also, they were victors over Argentina as well in that same tournament. And I think that is the problem for Brazil right now. It's the evolution of football. Mm. It's not just to be the star player on the ball, comfortable, moving around, but also to track back. Mm. And I think that is the thing that is lacking.
Mm. That's a very good point that you make, you know. And I then want to swing this question to you, Monde. What do you make of that? Neil has touched on evolution of football, and when I look at it, previously I did an episode, a tactical talk episode, comparing Copa America and Euro 2020, and one thing I've realized is that with the teams that play within the Copa America, which are South American, a lot of them still play the traditional 4-3-3. There's some that still use a 4-4-2. You know, what do you then make of the evolution with regards to those South American teams?
I just think that, man, they could do a whole lot better, man. I feel like they aren't really adapting as much, you know. They aren't being tactically flexible as well. I just feel like... And also, the team selection as well for, like, the coaches. I saw that Brazil actually left Rafinha at home and they didn't pick him for the Copa America, but they picked a player like Everton. And, you know, I don't know, maybe they aren't doing as much scouting as much, but it's really disappointing, man, because when you talk about Brazilian players, you talk about players who have the ability to change the game just like this. You have your players like Neymar, who can just control the game, get the team going. But then now you have a player like Felipe Anderson, who was at West Ham, who was shambolic. Even David Moyes was saying, you know, you're a Brazilian player, you know, you guys have the ability to change games. But they just couldn't do it, and it's like, they just have to do better. They really have to do better.
What's your take, Sabizu?
Well, I think my take is completely different, because I feel like with Brazil, like, I feel like if Brazil have transitioned to the whole European way of playing football, the whole GA, you must get the most goals, assists. You have to be efficient on the ball.
Yeah.
Like the way that a Brazilian player should be, a Brazilian player shouldn't be. You shouldn't look so robotic, like you're, like trying to always have a purpose to doing something. Because Brazilian players play free, and that's how we play in the country.
Yeah.
Like with players like Neymar, I feel like he's a dying breed of that kind of player who just free and plays the game the way it should be played.
Yeah.
Now we have players like Richarlison who are holding big numbers in the team number 7, and he's so robotic. I haven't even seen him do a step over in my life. I'm like, a player like that shouldn't be starting for Brazil, because he looks more like an English player than actual English players. Because he's so, everything he does, it's so efficient. Like he wants to always score. Brazilian players should be first looking at not the name, and just looking at how you play soccer.
Yeah.
Like going to like right back with Danilo, I've never seen such a boring Brazilian right back in my life.
Yeah.
I've never seen a right back who's so stiff playing for Brazil.
Yeah.
If you look at the other side of Renan Lodi is called the complete opposite to the partner on the right. Because he's so fluid, he's quick, he can dribble, and Daniel on the other side, I feel like he like straps the team and he can't allow them to go forward.
On the right hand side.
And you're
going to
see the downgrade from Dani Alves
even in the midfield
to Danilo, and it's like you can really tell, you know,
even in the midfield,
the
like,
really
like the midfield consisted of, it was Casemiro, was Paqueta, and I forgot who the other guy was in the midfield.
Fred.
And Fred. Like, if you can tell me what Fred and Casemiro are, those guys are both ball destroyers, and they offer nothing going forward. And Paqueta's very limited in that being. I don't understand why he didn't bring a Rafinha on or someone else. Like, there's an abundance of Brazilian players who play in the Brazilian league who could have made a difference in that game.
Yeah.
But he chose to pick the efficient...
Efficient
players. Like, I don't understand when Brazil turned into Stoke, and now we need to have GA merchants up front. Whenever Neymar gets the ball, he must do something on his own. Like, I wonder where it went wrong for
Brazil.
Brazil.
So, you know, I think that when we have a look at it, gentlemen, I think that there's... it's a confluence of many different components, you know. Neil had mentioned... development. I think that's a place where we can start, you know, with regards to their development systems. And also, we know that with anything in life, you have to evolve, you have to transition, you know. And I think that part of the way they do things and they play, part of it needs to transition.
Yeah.
However, you also have then to be able to retain certain traditional nuances that make you who you are as a person. So I just think that Brazil have struggled to marry the two. Evolving and then sticking true, yeah, being true to who they truly are, you know, because you mentioned that, and yeah, you know, you mentioned a player like Richarlison, he looks more English than he does Brazilian, you know. And I remember having this conversation with one of my friends, and I was saying that how is it that Jadon Sancho, who is English, has more skill than most of those Brazilian players.
Doesn't make sense.
You know, it really doesn't make sense. It then shows you that the work that they're doing at grassroots level in England has totally transformed. It's different.
It's
now those English players have a lot more flair. You know, the English now are starting to look like Spanish and Brazilian players.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally changed. So it's got to do with the development systems and also being comfortable. I think that they became very comfortable because they always knew that we have talent at home, irrespective. But forgetting that you have to fine-tune that talent and keep up with the times as well.
Yeah.
You know, because I think if Brazil were to transition into maybe a 3-5-2 or 3-4-3, I think that would do them a world of good.
Yeah.
I say that because traditionally Brazil have some of the best wingbacks, you know. And if you look at it, Brazil don't have, they've never really had your out-and-out wingers who hog the touchline and who are always looking to get to the ball line and whip crosses. They've had those wingers who always come in, inverted wingers, you know?
Yeah.
So what they could do with that is that you could take those inverted wingers and you could play them as inside forwards, and then you could have your Renan Lodi going on the outside, and on the other side, develop a younger guy who has more speed, more flair, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many players. Like, there's a player at Real Betis. I think he signed for Barcelona now. His name, it's Emerson Royal.
Yeah.
Like, for... I think a prerequisite to even touch a Brazilian squad that you have to be technically good first before you have the pace, you have the strength. You have to be first technically good, and he doesn't meet any of the requirements. And as a player, I've wondered how he's played for Real Madrid, he's played for Barcelona, he's played for Manchester City, he's played for Juventus, and I'm wondering, how does this guy get into so many teams, and he lacks the basic fundamentals of being, first of all, Brazilian, and he lacks fundamental footballs of being a football player. Because I feel like to even touch that Selassie kid, you need to have a few things first. First of all, I feel like the players in Brazil, like, their temperament is a lot bigger than a lot of European footballers. Because a lot of them, they'll touch the ball, lose it, they want it again. Touch the ball, lose it, they want it again.
Mm.
Unlike a lot of these English guys who, they get the ball, they lose it, and their heads drop. Because that's how they play. They're very high volume and high output players.
Yeah.
Like Neymar. Neymar will touch the ball maybe 50 times. Mm. But out of the 20, he'll do something with the ball.
Yeah.
And Brazil is so frustrating. Brazil is a country that should rather go back to their roots and not look at the European. Because I feel like a lot of Brazilian kids who are 15, 16 right now, they think that I'm going to be a striker or like an inside forward and get goals and get assists and go to Europe. Because they think that that's the way to get to Europe nowadays. If you look at a player like Vinicius Jr. epitomizes Brazil because he's a very high usage and high output player. He'll touch the ball 50 times, but do something 20 times maybe.
Yeah.
And that is what gets fans off their seats. And that's the kind of player that Brazilian players love.
Yeah. So I just think that, you know, in life, you can always pimp a butterfly, like Kendrick Lamar said.
Yeah.
And I think that you can adapt your traditional way of doing things within a modern-day system. Do you understand? Because yes, going back to the roots, very important. However, at some point, you also have to evolve. Because if you don't evolve, then you run the risk of falling off, you know. And you also become ignorant, you know, with regards to what's happening. Because then, when you approach certain games, because now, I'm not just speaking from a Copa America perspective. It's all well and good that they can play Copa America, get to a final. But at the World Cup, you know, the last showing in Russia, come on. The last showing, 2014, come on, do you understand? Yeah. We expect Brazil to get to at least semi-final. You know, that's like the bare minimum. Like, you want Brazil semi-final. You know, if they lose the semi, okay, cool. But it hasn't been good enough. And I think then when you just go back to your roots and you focus on what you're good at, but you're not aware of the things that are happening in world football, it becomes very difficult for you when you go to a World Cup. Because now you're going to meet teams which are so advanced and which are so modern, you know. So I just think that they need to retain that. We want the flair, we want the skill. It's just how do they use it in such a way that it'll predicate for them to become successful going forward and also producing fine quality. So, gentlemen, when we move on to the next segment, which is Argentina, we do know that Señor del Mundo is smiling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do know that they've just won, you know, their first major trophy. Well, this group of Argentinian players, they've won their first major trophy. And yeah, what do you make of that? I'll start with you. This man even has the tie.
Yeah.
I'll start with you. What do you make of that?
I am overjoyed. You know it. 1993 was the last international trophy that Argentina's won, and a country that has produced so much talent. Batistuta, just to name one.
Yeah.
You know? And they've always fallen short. Five finals in the last few years.
Yeah.
So I must say I'm happy for Lionel Messi, first of all. But when I think of it, next year is the World Cup. They need to make that step up, you know? And I know that is on their mind right now. I'm glad for this new crop of players because they've been able to play alongside Messi. Kun Agüero, I think, played a few minutes Copa America. So it looks like it's a changing of the guard. They are busy transferring skills over. They're busy giving them, you know, that experience that they've had of playing in a final. So for me as an Argentine fan, I'm happy to see that.
Yeah.
And if we look at the quality that they possess right now, a lot of young players, And I think these players are proving themselves worthy to get into bigger clubs. If you look at Christian Romero Kuti, mm-hmm. He's done well with Atalanta.
Yeah.
Brilliant defender. Unfortunately, a bit injury prone now during the Copa America. So I want to see these players get into bigger clubs and see what they can do. Because a lot of it has been Messi.
Yeah.
Is it five assists, four goals?
Mm.
In this Copa America. So he's the main source of goals.
Mm.
He's the main source of assists. What are the other players doing?
Mm. Yeah. Especially heading into the World Cup.
Yes.
You know, that's going to be very interesting. And, you know, as much as there has been the pandemic and tournaments had to be rescheduled for a later date, but in a sense, I like it because it was a blessing in disguise. Mm. Because now we get to see tournament football back to back. In a sense, because at the end of the two international tournaments we've just had, we'll have the full season, and then next year, end of the season, at the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm looking forward to that. And with regards to that, I love that you mentioned that it has just been messy, because it shows how much this man has really wanted it. You know, because. You know, it's crazy to think that some people questioned his work ethic and desire to achieve with Argentina. But if you have a look at the stats, you have a look at his performances, you get to realize that this is a man who wants it more than anybody, you know? So what do you make of Argentina being finally able to win an international trophy with this crop of players?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm not too happy about this because I'm a Ronaldo fan, you know, and I don't want Messi to win anything. So, yeah, I am a bit biased on that part, but no, congratulations to Messi on winning his first trophy. I feel like a lot of the times, a lot of the weight was put on his shoulders to always perform, you know, but now at least in this team, he does have a lot of other players, you know, who can step in, like a Di Maria's. And also, I've seen a whole lot of new players as well introduced into the team, like Emiliano Martinez, Acuna, players like that, you know. And it's just good to see the new blood coming into the team, you know. Because before, I think what let down Argentina a lot is, you know, the defense wasn't really that good. The keeper, you know, you have Sergio Romero, who I don't rate as a good keeper, you know. Yeah. But now they've improved in those departments. And yeah, they have a good midfield with Paredes. DePaul also had a great game yesterday, so yeah.
Hmm. What do you make of it, Savizan?
First of all, I'd like to start by saying being a stan doesn't mean you're stupid. because I think the thing with the whole Ronaldo and Messi debate is that people used to always say that the monkey on Messi's back was that he hasn't won a trophy in this country. And now that he's done it, and he's pretty much done it on his own, as much as I'm a Ronaldo fan, I can respect what Messi's done because he basically did this thing on his own. because Ronaldo in that final, I don't think we should forget that he was injured. He didn't really play, and people would tell me, you know, spirit. He's the backbone of the team. And I'm like, no, like spirit doesn't play soccer. so as I'm saying, like Messi basically led his country to their first trophy in a very long time, and this is off the back of many disappointments. And for a player of Messi's stature, you think that. He would have thrown in the towel now and say, we've been to so many finals, we haven't won anything, so I'm done. Mm-hmm. But he's kept the fire burning in his heart, and he's finally done it, so he deserves so much credit
for
it.
I do hear you, Ned, but it's not like Messi also, you know, played in the final yesterday, you know, he didn't really do much.
What do you mean?
You know, he was kind of invisible. No, be honest.
He played the game.
He missed a one-on-one against Edison.
He played the game, though. Ronaldo didn't even play. He
had the same impact as Ronaldo. They both had no impact on the game.
He was on the pitch. What are you talking about?
He had no impact on the game.
So you're going to rate a guy who played from the sideline with spirit? Bruh.
Nah, man.
What Messi did?
Ronaldo didn't perform.
5 assists and 4 goals in the whole tournament.
Yeah.
That is an output worthy of actually winning, winning the title.
I hear you, ne? But Messi was busy playing against teams like Ecuador. In the big games...
You beat who's in front of you. You can't not say, no.
Di Maria scored the goal.
No, listen to this. You beat who's in front of you. If England go on to, and I'll make another example. If England go on to win the Euros now, you'll tell me that, so will you come and tell me that, no, but they played Czech Republic and they played whatever. Will you say that?
No, you won't say that.
You will say that England won the Euro 20.
I'm not talking about the whole team. I'm just talking about Messi specifically.
Please get my point first. You will say that England won the Euro 2020. You won't say that England played Czech Republic, England
no,
played Sweden.
I just don't.
You won't say that.
The only
because
thing,
you beat who's in front of you. This tournament football.
The only thing...
If the so-called better teams don't make it and we play each other, that's not our fault. We beat who's in front of us.
The only thing I don't like is how people are praising Messi for winning this tournament,
but they're
acting like Di Maria isn't the one who scored the most important
goal. He got 4 goals
and
5 assists. This is basically off the back of his
hard
work.
But Di Maria scored the most important goal.
This is off the back of his hard work.
But he scored the most important goal of the tournament.
Yes.
It
was the most important goal in the game, the last game.
Yeah.
But the previous games?
Yeah. This is where then I agree with Neil and Stawiso, yeah? On the basis of A, you have to beat those who are in front of you, right? It's not your fault that you get those teams.
Yeah.
You know, and the truth is, if then there are quality teams or better teams, then they must prove themselves to be those quality teams by advancing to the final. And then with regards to Messi's performance, I mean, jeez, that goal contribution is crazy. 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people who the whole season they get 9.
Yes.
Do you understand? The whole in a 38 game season, they get 9.
Okay,
do you understand?
So let me just say that I was just talking about last night when I was saying he had a bad performance.
No.
Okay.
But the truth is, now you gotta look at a tournament holistically.
Yeah.
Right? So yes, that one game maybe he didn't, according to you,
yeah,
you feel
yeah.
like he didn't play well. But at the end of the day, you have to look at the tournament holistically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why then he can win a player of the tournament, because they're looking at it holistically. It's not just the final that they're looking at.
You can't put a
so
game.
I definitely agree with Stawiso. And I think then, ladies and gentlemen, this is actually a great segue into the next segment, which is Lionel Messi versus Ronaldo.
Okay.
The most heated discussion in the whole world, man.
I
just say it out right now. I'm sure you guys already know, but I'm a Ronaldo stan, so I think Ronaldo's had the better career overall. So
Why do you say that?
He had the most decorated career. He has titles from all these different leagues, man, and he's proved himself in the best league in the world, in the Premier League. I don't think Messi's done that, you know. Ronaldo's won titles in Italy. I don't think Messi's done that, you know. I think Ronaldo is that guy.
Mm. Stavizo.
Like, I'm a Messi fan. No, I'm a Ronaldo fan. But to say that, I'm not dumb enough to not put Messi ahead of Ronaldo. Because I think Messi is ahead of Ronaldo in the fact that that guy can do things with the football that I don't think anyone in the world can, bro. As much as we can say that Ronaldo is this, and that. Like, I feel like ever since he passed 30, he transitioned from the whole I'm a showman, I do whatever, to like I'm more of a GA merchant now. He's getting his goals and assists every game. I feel like that Ronaldo's game has changed long ago from being a like an entertainer, and he's doing things and playing the game the way it should be played. Now he's just like goal hanger, he's jumping in the air for headers, the eye, bruh. Like, I feel like now,
what?
Now
but
the way that,
yeah, but at the same time, he's showing how he's adapted to
the
game. Messi is a guy who was born with talent, and Ronaldo is a hard worker. Maybe that's why I like
him. I like
that.
How
do you
know
that?
Maybe that's why. What do you mean?
How do you turn with Messi? How do you know that he's a hard worker? How do you turn with Messi?
I mean, like, maybe
no,
he is,
no.
But I'm just saying,
just because
you
like, see a six-pack on Ronaldo, all of a sudden he's a hard worker.
I mean, like,
no.
Messi is a short guy, he isn't strong, he isn't anything, but he has talent with the ball.
Ronaldo is
a guy who worked his way to the top.
For Messi to continue to play the way he played when he was 18, he's 35 now.
Mm.
He plays the same way. His game has never changed. He's never gone from a center forward to now being a CCDM or a spraying ball.
But
he's never transitioned his game. He's played the same way. He was 18, he's 35.
But
he's
that's why I'm exactly
way.
Saying that he is a talented player.
No.
Ronaldo is a hard worker.
Okay.
Ronaldo saw that, okay,
wait,
left
wait,
wing,
wait a
I'm
minute.
Losing I'm losing some speed here.
So
let me move to striker.
So you're gonna praise Ronaldo for changing his game, and you're not gonna praise Messi for keeping his consistency for his own
I'm praising Ronaldo for changing his game because he went from left wing And then he went to striker, and he's still...
Because he's goal-hanging now. He's goal-hanging.
Ah, man, a goal's a goal.
Okay,
man,
he scores on average 12 penalties this season.
Let's swing it to the senior statesman.
Guys,
and let's hear what Neil has to say on this one.
This is what I have to say. Respect to Ronaldo, to what he has achieved.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Just
putting it out there.
Yeah.
Ronaldo, when he came to Manchester United, he had to take on that number 7 shirt. And that was David Beckham.
Yeah.
Big shoes to fall. But if you have to look at the shoes Messi had to fall.
Right.
Ronaldinho.
Shoes left behind by Ronaldinho.
If you look at it, there was a 10, Rivaldo. Right? Got given to Riquelme. Riquelme didn't do a good job. Went to Ronaldinho. Came to Messi. Brazilian Messi. We know it's a big rivalry. Here, an Argentinian boy has to take this big mantle from Ronaldinho, the most entertaining footballer to watch at his time.
Mm.
And here Messi goes, and people forget that Ronaldinho played.
That even existed.
Mm. Yeah.
Just to do that
is enough in my book. Put Ronaldo there in Ronaldinho's shoes.
But at the same time, I mean, like you did say that Ronaldo came in for Beckham, and Beckham is one of the best players to play in England.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. I was comparing Beckham with Ronaldinho.
Beckham.
That's exactly what I was saying.
So you know, in the respective leagues, they are the best, you know?
So this is my thing, gentlemen. Nah? And I think that we have to move away from disregarding leagues.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, look, in England, we know that everything is overhyped. We know everything is overhyped. So just because Messi has only played in La Liga, it doesn't mean that we can't say that he's the greatest of all time because he's done it in one league, right? Because if I ask you now, who's the greatest manager of all time? You're probably going to tell me about Sir Alex Ferguson.
No, I'm a Pep Guardiola.
You're a Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
But,
I'm not delusional.
But... You're not okay, cool.
I'm not delusional.
But there's a lot of people who follow Manchester United. A lot of Manchester United fans, right, will tell you that the greatest manager of all time is Sir Alex Ferguson,
yes.
Right? And then when it comes to the Ronaldo versus Messi debate, then they will say, no, Ronaldo is. They'll tell you that, okay, you understand, because he's done it every... So then, why then can't the same principle apply to Messi that you applied to Sir Alex Ferguson? You understand what I'm saying? So, at the end of the day, I just think that we have to compare apples with apples.
Mm.
That's trophies, right? That's goals, that's assists, that's output. That's it. Because with the league, there's nothing we can't take Messi and put him in Serie A when Ronaldo goes to Serie A. We can't take Messi and put him in the Premier League.
Yeah.
We can't take Messi and move him all over around just to see what would happen. Because another thing that you have to realize is Messi played for Barcelona at a time where Barcelona was arguably the greatest football club at that time.
Mm.
So then why would you want to leave the greatest football club and
sense.
go to another country
what's
to try proof?
Because my argument for that is go out there and show us that you can do it in other leagues.
You see this point doesn't make sense. Well, you're telling Messi, one of the greatest players to ever live, to go and change league because of some other kid on Twitter says so. No, guys. This one, I don't understand this.
Okay, I have a question for you guys, man. So if you guys are saying that Messi is the greatest player, then you guys are basically saying that Sir Alex Ferguson is the greatest manager.
Have you seen Messi's stats against the top 5? English.
Alex
Ferguson,
I have seen that.
Yeah,
but
go look at them.
Like, nah, but
I'm not.
Go look at them.
And that's actually a very great point he brings up. These guys who've played against the English top 5 clubs for a very long time. Some of them don't even have as many goals as Messi. Messi only plays against these guys in the UEFA Champions League
twice or three times a season.
Yeah, and that's it.
And you start pads against those guys. I don't know, that guy used to kill Peter.
You know, so.
But the real question here is, would Messi be able to do this?
He would. What are you talking about?
Windy, like in Stoke, would he be able to?
What
do
are
this?
You? He would. What are you? Bro, I don't understand this thing of trying to rewrite history. Messi is the best player, point blank. You saying can he do it in the Prem? Of course he can. What do you mean? He can do it against anybody. He does it against the best players in the world.
I mean, this is the thing, right? You ask that, can he do it? Right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, who generally wins English Premier League? who has been generally dominating in the past 10 years?
United, City,
okay, yeah. Chelsea. Chelsea, yeah, Chelsea. Okay, yeah. Now let me ask you. Whenever Messi has come up against those teams, has he not dominated?
They don't see the whole, bro.
Yeah, has he or hasn't he? So then which other metric of success do you want to use, right? If he's doing it against the very best
in the league
from that league, then what more do you want? You want him to go play against West Brom?
I want the Premier League title.
It doesn't make sense.
I want the Premier League title. Yeah. I want it.
So you know,
show me that, and then maybe I'll hear you guys out.
Okay, so if I spoke to you last week, you would have said he has no international title.
But now you see. Now a new argument arises. Now I want the Premier League title.
Okay, but then what happens when Messi wins the English Premier League? Are you gonna say you want the Scudetto?
So
I want to hear that.
So viewers at home, please do weigh in on this debate in the comment section: Messi or Ronaldo? You know. So moving on to the next segment. This is a bit of a difficult one because of our generation. We never get to watch Pele and Maradona. However, I want to bring the two previous men we spoke about. we spoke about being Messi, Ronaldo, and then Maradona and Pele. So out of these four gentlemen, who is the greatest of all time? And let's rank them from fourth to first. What are you guys' thoughts?
Can I just say something now? Pele staying at number four, regardless of whatever order, because I don't trust whatever that guy's saying about. We've never seen many goals. What? So yeah, Pele number four, regardless of whatever order we get to see. Simple as that.
It's like the thing with Pele. Like, I've said this so many times. Like, the thing with Pele, like, even his videos look like they were done in the studio. Like it's CGI.
CGI style.
It looks like they drew the images on. It looks like the tour players stand still. I'm going to run here. Anything with Pele, I feel like his argument shouldn't even be counted as a modern day thing. And maybe he's going to be, he was good when he played against Farmers in the 60s, whatever. But now, I feel like that shouldn't even be counted anywhere in the top three. I feel like it's fourth. Yeah, it's fourth.
It's too much for Casey.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this one. And I want Neil to weigh in on this one, you know, with regards to the World Cups. Yes, you guys say that, fine, he did it at a time where maybe football was still played at pedestrian pace. Football wasn't at its professional peak. However, one thing that we cannot disregard is the amount of World Cups that he has, you know, and also at the age at which he won those World Cups, you know. And for many people, that's the point that they throw out within this debate and within this argument. What then do you make of that, Neil? You know, do you think that those World Cups substantiate for him to be regarded as the greatest of all time? Or you feel like, you won World Cups, but that's more of a team accolade. What has he done as an individual?
For me, when I always think of Pele, I think of the way you said Messi never went to the Prem. Why did Pele not go to Europe? It's always been a question in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the Stefano's legacy. Stefano was such a big name that he didn't go. But honestly, when we look at the World Cups, there was a World Cup where he was injured, where Garrincha came to the fold. And that leaves a lot of Brazilians to say that Garrincha is better than Pele. And Garrincha had a lot of skill and ability. But, of course, the World Cup is the biggest stage. It holds a lot of merit that you can put that argument there. Pele has those World Cups. And it's World Cups. As a kid, all of us, that you know, you wanted to play. And you wanted to win the World Cup.
I feel like Pele's a con man, guys. I feel like he's a con man, that guy.
Why do you say that?
He's a con man. I'm struggling to accept that Pele was actually as good as people say. I feel like he's awkward. Because people back then used to drink before games. We're smoking, we're playing the game.
But he
was
did it at
on the touchline. I feel like he's a con man, guys. There's no argument I'll ever hear about Pele. You can tell about the World Cups. Maybe the World Cup back then was a Champions League Cup. I'll never hear that.
So you guys are saying Pele is at fourth?
Yeah, it's fourth.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, this panel. Yo,
even his videos on YouTube, we are convinced. Those things are not in the studio.
It is studio. Yeah.
His greatest goal, I think they did. They animated it.
Even his greatest goal.
Yeah.
There's no proof, bro. There's no proof.
Okay, so let's move on, gentlemen. So, yeah, this is a tough panel, guys. They've ranked Pele at fourth. So Pele's at fourth. Let's move on to third. Who do you guys think slots in at three?
Third has to be Maradona here. At least we've seen his videos. At least we've seen him. Since we've seen the stuff he's done.
Yeah.
And I feel like his legacy is more like in touch with like modern day than Pele.
Yeah.
So that people can still recognize Maradona and they know that things done. I mean, the Napoli Stadium is named after him now.
Yeah.
So like he like still has a touch with like the modern day like football fan.
What do you make of that, Neil?
You're putting him third.
Yeah, I'm putting him third. Okay.
Wow, that's very harsh because I've only recently accepted that Messi is better than Maradona. So it was a tough battle for me for years.
Yeah.
When it came, I was like, nah.
Yeah.
You can't look at all those stats. And I know you're thinking of Ronaldo's stats as well.
The GA machine.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's got the numbers there. But there's something that you can't quantify.
Mm.
And that is what Maradona did.
Mm.
The way he played football, his goal in 86 against England.
Mm.
You know, he scored with a hand.
Yeah.
Then he scores the greatest goal in football history. He's the only player that they say. I've listened to a lot of experts.
Yeah.
He's the only player to single-handedly win a World Cup. What Messi did with the Copa, he did with the World Cup in 86. Yeah. And Maradona is... Look at Napoli.
Mm.
Insigne has a tattoo. The man that's playing the final tonight,
he
decided. He's got a big tattoo on his thigh of Maradona.
Yeah.
Maradona means... What Maradona actually did in 1990, when it was hosted in Italy, he told the Napoli fans... Support Argentina, a semi-final, and what did the Italians do?
They supported them.
They supported Argentina.
Yeah,
that's the power of Maradona, and I think you can't measure that.
That's deep.
Pause.
Yeah. At a poetry session. But anyway, what do you make of that, Muin?
Hey, I have nothing bad to say about Maradona, man. Nothing bad, man. I mean, like, the man is a legend. At least we do have some proof that, you know, he has actually done the things he says he's done. But unfortunately, I'd still rank him at third, though.
At third?
Yeah.
So, with regards to Pele and Maradona, this is where I'll start with the both of them. I acknowledge the World Cup they won. I acknowledge what they did with their national teams. However, my qualm is, I look at football from a longevity perspective, and I look at the position that you play, and I look at your output, right? The question then becomes, did Pele and Maradona do it for over 15 years, like a Ronaldo and Messi?
Yeah.
And the answer is no, they didn't do it for 15 years, you know? So, I... truly acknowledge what Neil was saying about how great Maradona was and the legacy that he has left, you know. However, I didn't just think that when we're comparing, we're looking at the goals, we're looking at the trophies, we're looking at all the success and you weighed on a table. I just don't feel like Maradona's World Cup performances outweigh that of Ronaldo's whole career and what Ronaldo has done, you know. And another thing that I would like to... then mention with regards to that is, picture this, right? If Ronaldo was playing in this generation alone and there was no Messi, take all those Ballon d'Ors that Messi has won and give it to Ronaldo. You know, that equates to 11 Ballon d'Ors, right? Now, you're looking at a period where out of 15 years, for 11 years straight, year in, year out, this guy was the best player in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're looking at total dominance to a perspective where nobody can touch this guy, you know. And also, I think that what makes then the Ronaldo and Messi conversation a lot more interesting, and what also makes them higher up the this list that we're creating, is by virtue of the fact that they're from the same generation, and that they kept taking it off each other's hands, you know, which is really phenomenal. And even on the inverse of that, take all of Ronaldo's Ballon d'Ors and give them to Messi. Like, 11, you know, that's year in, year out. How many players in world football can even perform for a decade, year in, year out, at the highest level?
Even just 2 years is a lot.
Yeah, 2 years is a lot. You know, so just a decade, you know, and a decade is tough for most players, right? Without the other one, they would have had a decade of just winning Ballon d'Ors, you know. So for me, as much as Maradona has this amazing legacy and he was phenomenal, I'm sorry, I have to rank him at third because I just can't put him above Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah. Also, his PR team is amazing. Maradona's PR team is amazing. he's still into a message like this. Hey guys, PR team is tough.
Yeah, so, gentlemen, do you agree that we've got Pele at fourth, Maradona at third?
Yeah, okay.
You guys agree? Yeah, and then this is where the fight comes now. Number two.
I feel like it's Ronaldo second, then. I think Messi's first.
So wait, do you substantiate that by the virtue of the fact that Messi finally has an international trophy?
I feel like now he's I feel like he's completely at the summit of football now. Like he's proved himself. I feel like now, no sane person can question Messi right now.
Okay.
No one can actually question him and say, you haven't won anything, you haven't done. No one can legitimately go to Messi and question him to his face. You can't. It's like every single question, all the doubts have been put to bed now.
No, they haven't.
Except for some guys in South Africa.
I'll doubt Messi until the day I die.
You see this now?
I'm listening.
I'm gonna die on that hill.
Why are you doubting him?
Because he doesn't win the league.
Back to this chat. But
come on, bro.
Who do you feel should be second?
Messi for sure. He's lucky I'm putting him at second. He should consider himself blessed that he's there, but I'll put him at second,
Why would you put him at second?
Yeah, put him at second.
Because I just think Ronaldo's just better, man.
So you tell your children one day that Ronaldo was the best player in the world.
Yes. The best player you'll ever see.
Like your kids.
The best player you'll ever see.
You like your kids.
I'm sorry, man.
I'll tell you now.
Ronaldo's had the most illustrious career, man. I'm sorry.
No, he hasn't.
He has.
But anyway, let's swing it to Neil. What do you make of this, Neil?
Cristiano Ronaldo, I remember there was a time when people said Messi can't take free kicks. And then he allowed teams to evolve by laying on the ground just to stop him. So whatever's been put in front of Messi, he has really excelled. He had that big mantle of the number 10 jersey. Will he be Maradona? Look, in Argentina, there was no one that could come close to Maradona. Pele won so many World Cups, he doesn't even enter the conversation because it's Maradona only. He's a god there. But Messi, what he has done, what he has achieved. And I think that puts him at a huge edge. It's a huge edge over Ronaldo. Ronaldo, there's one thing I like about Ronaldo. And that's that he doesn't give up. It's one thing. I have to admire. People always talk about he's got desire and hard work. And I like what you said. So Messi doesn't work hard. Messi worked hard. You know, he really worked hard to be any footballer that is worth their salt. You know, they worked hard for it. Ronaldo works hard. He's got desire. His teammates praise him. Yet Rooney puts Messi better than Ronaldo. And he played alongside.
So, you know, gentlemen, when I think about this, because we can go on for years with this debate, you know, I put it down to one thing, right? And that is how one plays the game, right? And how one makes it look so easy, right? So when we were all growing up, you know, there's a certain joy and a certain passion and a certain way you would want to do things, you know. Mm. And there's a certain purity that comes with it. When it comes to just playing football, let's put the numbers aside because they've got numbers. Let's put the trophies aside because they've got the trophies, right? Let's put all of those things aside.
How does he play?
You know, all of those things aside. And let's say, for argument's sake, in this specific conversation, the stats, the trophies become non-factor.
Mm.
Let's just look at playing ability. Who can replicate what Messi does with a football?
Nobody.
Like this,
maybe Neymar comes close.
The closest thing is
yeah.
Neymar.
Yeah.
You know?
And even him, is still a distance away from Messi. Like, I'm a Ronaldo fan, but I'm not that arrogant to say that he's still the best. He's
yeah.
not. He's not. No one can curve the ball the way Messi does.
No.
People struggle to pass the ball the way Messi does. His vision is... He does everything. He's the complete package. He's a complete offensive machine.
But all I'm saying is that, man, I'm just picking the big game player, man. The guy
let me ask you, what is fun about... Let me ask you, what's fun about a Ronaldo standing at the back post, jumping over smaller defenders, and scoring
the
ball?
The fact that he's jumping
two
meters high.
The ball.
Yeah,
but what Messi does week in, week out, 1-2, 1-2, curling to the top corner. That's beautiful.
Nah,
but Ronaldo, just go ahead.
Nah, but let's just agree to disagree. You know, they both have their strengths and they both have their weaknesses.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that.
Tell
but
I like that.
Gentlemen.
Tell Messi's weakness.
Gentlemen, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. This is the extra time segment. So, we need to formulate our list. At number 4, we got Pele.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 3, Maradona. At number 2,
Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I say Ronaldo. Number 2,
Messi, man. But since I'm being outvoted here, I guess I'll comply.
And then at number 1, we have Lionel Messi.
Yes.
That is the list of the greatest footballers of all time.
Yeah.
Do we agree, gentlemen?
Can we put Neymar in Pele's
place? Can we actually?
You guys want Pele out?
Maybe
let's speak about that then. Let's get into that.
Yeah.
What is your suggestion?
Honestly, I've been a big critic of Neymar.
Yeah.
But watching him closely as a critic,
yeah,
I put Neymar there.
At 4th.
Either Ronaldinho or Neymar can.
Yeah.
One,
as the best footballer, Neymar's numbers.
His
numbers and the way he plays, I enjoyed what I saw yesterday when they lost, the tears he had, crying there. It means more to him than just the glitz and glamour that we think Neymar's about.
Mm.
Like, I'd put Neymar, Pele can go. Even out of the top 10.
Are you not on the top 10?
You can take him out.
I am a huge Neymar fan. In fact, Neymar is my favorite player of all time. And yes, I acknowledge Messi, but the player that I enjoy watching the most is Neymar, you know. So I didn't want to be the one, viewers at home, to lead the discussion and put Neymar in there to push an agenda, because on Disky Talk, we keep it as objective as possible.
Yeah.
But when you mention that, you know, I think he goes down as one of the greats, you know. And yes, of course, you can mention Johan Cruyff as well, who I think I would even rank him above Pele. But I know viewers at home will be fighting. What? Cruyff? You know, because of all those World Cup trophies that Pele has. However, we've come to the end of yet another special episode of Disky Talk with Liolo. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. Viewers at home, please do weigh in on this. Give us your list of... Let's make a top 5, no?
Yeah, top 5.
Top 5 greatest footballers of all time. Who do you guys think is in that list? So, gentlemen, thank you for coming through. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. Thank you, Staviso. Ah, Señor del Mundo! Thanks a lot, Neil, for coming through.
Yeah.
Signing out.